You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Boys are here ready to go. We're down a man in the back row, but it's not McLovin. McLovin's back. Fritzy's out today, refusing to work with McLovin, who just came back, apparently. Sources close to me, tell me. Phone calls are always welcome. Every Monday, well, every day, but best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like, your opportunity to be part of the program, you can do it via the phone call, Twitter, or email, or all the above. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock. Also, our radio affiliates around the country, numbering nearly 400, including 940 WINZ in Miami, KGSO AM 1410 AM Wichita, Kansas, and KJAQ Seattle, Washington. Thank you for your support. Play of the day, stat of the day, Peter King will join us coming up in a little bit. Paul Feinbaum will stop by as well. Couple of the headlines. The U.S. men's basketball team lost its first game since 2004. That was yesterday. Somehow Team USA forgot how to shoot down the stretch. They lost to the French team that, well, the U.S. couldn't stop Evan Fournier. You can't stop Evan Fournier. You can only hope to contain him. The team does not want to be associated with the 04 Olympic squad. That was Team Bronze. That team, the perfect example of you can have a ton of talent. That doesn't mean you're winning. LeBron, D-Wade, Tim Duncan, Allen Iverson, young players, but still, we're talking about Hall of Famers. But they had their shooting woes. Team USA trying to avoid that same fate this year. Strange to watch them play, and this happens in Olympic or international competition. A lot of these players, they have been playing with the same team, same players, for quite some time. It's not just a, hey, let's roll out the basketballs. We got all-stars. Go out there and win. That's not the way it works. Also, these star players from the United States are not getting the calls that they normally get, which is weird because there's a sense that the European players are soft, but that's not the case. Not anymore. It's almost like Team USA is softer because they're waiting for these calls that they got during the NBA season. The Olympics are officiated differently. There's not this preferential treatment that you have in the NBA, like, oh, he gets that call. That's not the way it works in the Olympics. But this is another wake-up call because it's time for Team USA to play with a little bit of urgency here and avoid any comparison to that 2004 team. Greg Popovich has lost five of his last eight games as Team USA head coach. This in World Cup and Olympic action, Popovich's teams have a 6-3 record. Mike Krzyzewski's record in World Cup and Olympic action, 56-3.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, bop, bop. Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Bop. By the way, this program brought to you by Simply Safe, Simply Safe Home Security. Making you feel safe at home the last 15 years. Go to simplysafedan.com right now to customize your system. Get a free security camera. McLovin, what kind of poll question do you have for me today?
Okay, do you want to start with negative or very negative?
Ooh.
Okay, let's start with Team USA basketball. If we put out the poll, do they win the gold medal?
Okay.
How do people vote?
Do you care if they win the gold medal? Because I don't know if people are caught up in it. Do you care if they don't win the gold medal? Because I think that's when, that's the only time we care is when we're supposed to win and we don't. Like you go back to the 1988 team. You know, if Simone Biles loses, we're like, oh my gosh. You know, she had a substandard performance here. Oh, wait, Katie Ledecky lost. What? That's when we care. When they win, it's like, okay, nothing to see here. We just move on. Team USA, what? We lost again? Nigeria, Australia, now France. Can we beat Iran? I hope. What else do you have, McLovin?
Well, that's the next question. What would be the biggest disappointment if Katie Ledecky struggled, if Simone Biles?
Simone Biles.
Yeah, she's like the Michael Jordan of this Olympics. Right?
Well, when you wear an outfit that says GOAT, like she's saying, I'm the GOAT. Now, these are just qualifying rounds going on, but it was one of those where she didn't perform her best. And I think that caught everybody's attention because if she did perform like she normally does, then people would be like, all right, yeah, she's going to win the gold. It's that, oh, wow. Katie Ledecky swam the second fastest time of her career and finished second. She's only 24, and she lost to a woman from Australia who's 20. But that's how quickly it works in swimming, where you think, oh, what is your prime? 24, you might be starting to get old. Crazy. But I think we had her penciled in for quite a few gold medals. Yeah, McLeod.
That leads us to our hard-hitting Olympic poll of the day from Paul Papps.
Ooh.
Which sport makes you feel worse about your own physique?
I'll give you the sports, because watching these sports does nothing. Because then I get up with my chips and salsa and my beer, and I walk past a mirror, as I just saw. Mm-hmm. Swimming? I was watching the men swimming. They don't look like real people. Look CGI.
Yeah.
Water polo. Ooh. They're a little more jacked than the swimmers, but not as cut, but they look like they're in perfect shape.
Yeah.
Soccer guys. I think it was the Sweden soccer team. The worst guy on the team, the worst looking guy, looks like Brad Pitt, like young Brad Pitt. He's the ugly dude. Track and field, those guys are in perfect shape.
Yeah.
And then other. Is there another sport that where you feel worse about your physique?
Having seen water polo in person, mm-hmm. and those dudes are tough. Like, there's no contact when you're swimming. You know, when you're 100 meter breaststroke, you know, there's no hand-to-hand combat. When you're in water polo, so why don't you tread water for a couple hours? And then you got guys who are, you know, clawing. And I'm watching the women play. They're got scratch marks all over them. I mean, they're it's hand-to-hand combat. So I'd rather walk into a bar and say I'm a water polo player than let them have the, you know, the, of course, obvious joke of how does your horse not drown? And then you would, and then I would be a swimmer or a soccer player. Yes, yeah,
right. It's like tread water for 30 minutes and then tackle people.
Yeah,
tackle this other dude. There was a moment this weekend that I'm watching, and you keep in the back of your mind, these dudes are treading water the whole time. And another guy tackled the dude with the ball, shoved him up their water, like ripped off his head scarf, whatever that is.
Scarf.
And then took the ball from him, and then they like whistled him for a foul. But still, it was like the most punishing thing. That he's drowning this guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I'm just stealing the ball. Water polo.
Yeah. How many sports do you perform at the Olympics where you could drown?
Water polo is hockey if the ice melted.
Although there is one part of water polo today that I hadn't seen. Have you ever seen how they dribble with the ball? Like sometimes they'll be swimming and they're like dribbling the ball. The guy's swimming like this freestyle, poking it with his nose. Poking the ball down the water or whatever. And then he picks it up and like crosses the ball over. But he did it with his nose
like
a little bit.
Like a seal.
And
Yes, McLevin.
I don't know about the best looking, though. Soccer, during the Euros, my wife's like, when's that Denmark-England game on? I'm like, what? What the heck are you talking about?
Well,
like,
that's because Harry Kane.
That's her number one.
Yes. Oh, by the way, got some breaking news here. This isn't Harry Kane related, by the way. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, says the Texans are now willing to listen and have been for some time to trade offers for Deshaun Watson. Multiple sources tell me and Ian Rappaport. The price is high for a player of his caliber and should be. It'll likely take at least 3 first-round picks and more. He also says that Deshaun Watson reported to camp yesterday and was respectful, but his demeanor reiterated he doesn't want to be in Houston. The question is, will a team step up with the type of massive offer that could compel the Texans to move him now? Watson also would have to waive his no trade. There's a couple of teams who are monitoring this situation, from what I'm told. Denver, Miami, Philadelphia, Carolina. Yes, Paulie.
It does feel like the Deshaun Watson situation has not deteriorated off the field. There's been no smoking gun in the past 4 months. But how could a team, let's say it was Denver, was interested in trading for him, how can they trade for him without knowing the details behind the accusations?
And I don't know if he's going on the commissioner's exempt list. Usually that would happen as we get closer to the season, I believe. But there is no real smoking gun here. With Adrian Peterson, there were pictures. With Ray Rice, there was a video. There's really no smoking gun. We know that there's accusations, but he has not been formally charged here. Can he make this go away? And if he makes this go away, does the NFL punish him? And from what I'm told, the NFL doesn't seem like it's leaning towards punishing him right now. Can you put him on the commissioner's exempt list? And can you get him at a lesser rate than you would have a few months back? I don't know, other than, hey, he's settled all of these cases. Does the NFL punish him? And if so, for how long? Or if they don't, then the Texans would be open for business. But I think that they had been holding out because what is the value of Deshaun Watson? Deshaun Watson led the NFL in passing yards last year. He completed 70% of his passes. He played for a horrible team and did all of that. He's young, under contract, and obviously there's some baggage that's going to go along with him. That's why you have these teams that are monitoring the situation. And if you're Denver and you could get Aaron Rodgers or you could get Deshaun Watson, I would say Watson, but then what am I giving up? What's the baggage I'm getting? And Aaron Rodgers, what do I have to give up? Plus, he's 12 years older than Deshaun Watson. And we don't know what's happening with the Packers. We're probably going to find out a little bit more later today or tomorrow if Rodgers is going to show up. Is he going to show up and play one more year? Is he going to show up and say, hey, you don't want me to be a distraction, trade me. And now you got the Davante Adams situation as well. And we'll talk to Peter King about this. But make no mistake about it. Somebody who is, I don't want to say a friend of Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to overcharacterize this, but said to me yesterday, Aaron doesn't do anything by accident. It's all by design. He's got a game plan. There's no way that he's sort of going in there just kind of, hey, whatever happens, happens. He knows exactly what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, what his end game is. Whether he gets that or not, that's a completely different story. But what his game plan is, I was told that he knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think another team could lowball Deshaun Watson? Because go back to, I think it was February, people were talking 4 first-round picks for him. That's back when there was no accusations. Now he's got baggage, and also I would think that the Texans don't want him on the team at all because they're going for the first-round pick next year.
Here's what was told to me over the weekend. You know, as much as you look at the Texans and they can tank, there is no great quarterback. This is what I was told. There's no great quarterback. NFL scout, who's been a great source for this show, there is no Trevor Lawrence. That you have quality quarterback. Spencer Rattler has played one quality season. And this is where if you're the Texans and you go, we want that number one pick, okay, you're not, you might not replace Deshaun Watson with, hey, we got Justin Fields or we got Trevor Lawrence here. You know, it's not that player is not there right now. Now, quarterbacks always emerge, but I was told yesterday, Saturday, that there is no, hey, that's a franchise making quarterback. There's nobody like that right now. And that's another thing to factor in. Yes, McLovin.
Right. Like you said, there's always a Trubisky or even Mahomes wasn't. Baker Mayfield. Remember, he was a second rounder up until a month. So.
Yeah. And Zach Wilson. Yeah. I mean, there's always quarterbacks that jump up. And there are a couple of quarterbacks that are out there. But I was told that there's no, boy, that guy can turn your franchise around. What's the other poll question?
Oh, okay. So I have a poll question that brings in every sport. And it is total for clicks.
Do you have an Icelandic accent?
Actually, I do, because they don't have any accent.
Oh, they don't.
But you know what the best part about Iceland? No one is tan. It is the most untanned country I've ever been to. I fit in so well.
Did they look at you like you were from the Jersey Shore?
No, because I was so tan.
You were the situation? Like, oh my God, that guy is tan.
Yeah, I got it. They are weird, untanned people there. And it's the best July vacation for me because we didn't see the sun once. First 5 days, I'm like, yeah. I didn't have any sunscreen in my eyes. I was like, this is heaven.
And no sharks up there, right?
Their sharks are... they're killer whales, actually, that eat the sharks. No, there's no sharks. They have no animals because it's so unhospitable. There's no bears. It was great. But, it's a cool place. But I came back, and I've been sitting on this poll question that I think will get more clicks.
Okay, let me take a break.
Yeah.
And then you give us the poll question, and then we'll make way for Peter King. Okay?
Sure.
Sounds good. All right. Phone calls are welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Coming up on 16 after the hour, just getting started. Hour one on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. And you know what that means. When it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Paul Feinbaum from the Mothership will join us a little bit later on, and we'll talk about the chaos that is college football. And if you're the SEC, Oklahoma, Texas, come on down, and reportedly have reached out to Michigan and Ohio State. Why not? Come on in. Lucas scored 48 in his Olympic debut. Slovenia rolled past Argentina. So 48 for Luca. All right, McLovin, what do you have before we get to Peter King?
All right, who's getting traded this week?
Oh, no.
And I'm giving you this classic sports talk radio. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Simmons, draft on Thursday, yeah. Bradley Beal. And I just had to Google who's most likely to go at the MLB trade deadline. I saw Max Scherzer is on that list.
Yeah, I saw where the Mets might be interested in him.
So I'm going to put those five names up to get people to sign on and click.
And I would put all the Chicago Cubs players.
Oh, right.
You know, just put every Chicago Cub who's any good.
Well, can we just put Chris Bryant then?
Yeah, you could do that. Let's bring in Peter King, Football Morning in America, and NBC sports columnist. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
Everything's going great, Dan. How about yourself?
We're great. You're back from vacation, ready to hit the road, covering training camp. The top headline today in the NFL, in your opinion, is what?
You know, what'll happen with Aaron Rodgers? It's going to continue to be the top headline. He's due to report to Packers camp tomorrow, as all veteran players are. I don't assume he's going to report to camp, but who knows? He could make it like Brett Favre in 2008, when Favre said, I'm going to push their hand. I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to put pressure on them. I'm going to report and make it hot on them. So you just don't know. There's a news blackout from all sides on it. It's very hard to get anybody to talk about it over the weekend, even on deep background. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, that, you know, you're trying to get information and it's difficult to get any information because it feels like Aaron Rodgers is the person with all the information and nobody else has a take on it or willing to say something that might incite something here.
Yeah, I think it's Aaron Rodgers and his agent, David Dunn, who coincidentally was the agent for the last star quarterback who really fought his way out of a place. And that was Carson Palmer. You know, a decade and a half ago when he said, I'm not playing for the Bengals anymore, I'll retire. And look, Carson Palmer was not going to play for the Bengals anymore. But, you know, he got fortunate at the trading deadline that year because the Raiders, remember that year, Jason Campbell was the Raiders quarterback. He got hurt. The Raiders desperately needed a quarterback. Al Davis said, we'll do whatever it takes to get Carson Palmer. It's a little bit different in this particular case because if you want to get Aaron Rodgers, you know that it's going to take about two or three times as much as it did to get Carson Palmer back in the day. And I just don't think as of this moment, as we sit here on July 26th, that the Packers still are even entertaining the thought of trading him. But if they do, as I wrote this morning, they must get 2021 value in return, which is why I proposed multiple first round draft picks and something like Drew Lock and Jerry Jeudy from Denver for Aaron Rodgers. Most people would say, well, that's not enough. Well, you're not exactly in the best position to trade right now.
If you got a question for Rodgers and had that opportunity, what would you ask him?
What are you going to do? I mean, because look, Dan, you know, the funny thing about all this is, you know, Aaron went on with Kenny Mayne, what was it now, a couple of months ago, I guess. And he said, I love the fans. I love the team. I love the coaches. I love Jordan Love. I love the history. I love everything about Green Bay. Left unsaid was that he doesn't love Brian Gutekunst. And I guess he doesn't love Mark Murphy, the team president. So, you know, honestly, my olive branch in this situation is basically Rodgers agreeing to play one more year with them, and then the Packers agreeing to trade him to one of four teams in the AFC after this that Rodgers could designate after this season, and then let's all move on to the next crisis of the day.
Tom Pelissero is reporting that the Texans are now willing to listen and have been for some time with offers for Deshaun Watson. But I'm just trying to figure out the bargaining power. Can I give you a lesser offer? You have that sense of uncertainty here with Deshaun Watson, Pete. How do you think this plays out with the Texans?
I just don't think it makes any sense whatsoever to trade him right now or to even entertain thoughts about trading him. Because unless you're the Philadelphia Eagles and say, we'll give you three ones and two players right now for a guy who probably isn't going to play the first half of this season, if he's going to play this season at all, you know, you got to have full education about a player before you would consider trading for him, especially making a mega trade. What happens if this case, you know, drags on for months and months or maybe into next year? I mean, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles right now and Deshaun Watson is going to be traded and you find out that, say, the Carolina Panthers are going to trade the moon and the stars for him, I still wouldn't go nuts and trade for him. Because, look, there's probably only a 15-20% chance that Jalen Hurts is good enough to be your long-term guy. We all know that, but they're giving him this year. And then they're going to have the opportunity maybe in next year to take a really good rookie quarterback who we don't know. A year ago, Zach Wilson was a total nobody, and he ends up being the second pick in the draft. So don't tell me that the quarterback crop next year stinks. I don't. First of all, I have no idea whether it stinks or not. They got to play this year. People will emerge. This is a bad time to trade Deshaun Watson and to trade for Deshaun Watson.
But the commissioner's exempt list, does that help the situation? Because Deshaun Watson's there, and I don't know if he's showing up. A, you don't want to be fined, but B, you sort of want to be a distraction. So they say, all right, we don't want you on the field. What do you think can happen with the commissioner's exempt list here?
Look, if he's put on the commissioner's exempt list, then obviously – then he doesn't have to show up. He won't show up. Look, and it's also within the Texans' purview to have Deshaun Watson report and for you to tell Watson, you know, Nick Caserio, David Culley, to tell him, hey, just go home. We don't want you here. And, you know, we're not going to fine you. And have him be one of the 90 men on the roster, but he's just not participating in practice. And so, look, you know, it's a wide open field in Houston. I just think it makes no sense to trade him or to trade for him right now.
He's back from vacation, Peter King, Football Morning in America column and NBC Sports as well. Wednesday, you'll be in Nevada. Thursday with the Niners. Friday, the Cowboys. Saturday, the Rams. Which of those teams is most intriguing?
You know, in my opinion, the Raiders, and look, the Niners are very, very close to them. But the Raiders, you know, this is year four of John Gruden, Dan. He's 19 and 29. I mean, you know, that's not what you're paying $10 million a year for. And so, you know, at some point, the players who John Gruden and Mike Mayock have brought into the fold have to play better than 19 and 29. He knows that. They all know that. The 49ers really interest me just from the standpoint of when I rated the teams 1 to 32, they're very, very high on my list. They're number five. And my feeling about them is if they are relatively healthy on defense this year, I think they're going to be playing deep into January and maybe into February. So I really like those two teams just for the drama's sake. And obviously, wherever Jerry Jones is, wherever the Cowboys are, is going to be fun.
The Rams, it's an interesting situation because you get Stafford, and now he gets talent around him. He's got a couple of marquee defensive players. He's got pretty good offense, even though you lose Cam Akers. I wonder if the expectation level is getting a little too high, Pete, and we haven't even gotten started with Cam.
Look, I am the worst person to pick to predict futures bets and things like that. Like, if you would ask me before the baseball season, bet on one thing this year, I would have taken the under on the Boston Red Sox victory, 78. I what are they doing, with the best record in the American League? I have no idea, but that's how much I know. But if you ask me this year, who would be your first quarterback in fantasy football this year? It'd be Matthew Stafford. And one of the reasons is what we saw the other day when Cam Akers got hurt. Now they're into the flotsam and jetsam area of their roster at running back. And I just think what's going to happen, I think Matthew Stafford will lead the NFL this year in passing yards and attempts. And so you heard it here first. He's going to throw for 5,000 yards. He's going to throw it 40 times a game. Go out and buy Matthew Stafford in your fantasy league.
Paulie, were we rolling on that so we can bring that back to Peter late in the season?
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
What's that website where they bring back horrible...
Freezing cold takes.
Yeah, right. That'll be that one. When Matthew Stafford, gets benched in week 11 because he's not playing well. Yeah.
Do you think expectation level... Well, I don't know what the Cowboys' expectation level is, but it feels like the Browns' expectation level is really, really high out of those two teams.
But why wouldn't it be, Dan? Why wouldn't it be? They had the ball against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City in the fourth quarter.
They had them.
With the ability to drive down the field and go ahead. I mean, if Baker Mayfield, that would have been the Baker Mayfield moment. Okay, and they didn't do it. And again, everybody can say, well, Patrick Mahomes didn't play in the fourth quarter. Yeah, he didn't. But you know what? In the first three quarters, they didn't put the Cleveland Browns away. And in fact, the Cleveland Browns played the Chiefs tougher than the Buffalo Bills did last year. The Bills lost by 14 and 9 points in their two meetings. But, as I wrote today, tremendous optimism in both places, Buffalo and Cleveland. Dan, this is the first time since – in over 30 years that each team has been this good entering a season. And how about the last time that each team won a playoff game in a season like they did last year, 1964, when on back-to-back days in Cleveland and Buffalo, they won the AFL and NFL championship games. So I buy that they deserve both teams deserve to be hyped up pretty good.
What about Dallas?
I mean, I don't know. We talk about Dallas every year. I love Jerry Jones. He had a quote in his opening press conference about optimism that I thought was fantastic. Why be pessimistic? I'm optimistic every year because I see the glasses being half full. And you know what? If they get great play early on from Micah Parsons and a really good group of linebackers. I mean, they are as deep at linebacker as really as any team is, Dan. And if Micah Parsons is really good, they could have the ability to hold teams in the low 20s. If they do that and Dak Prescott can play 17 games, then they're going to be pretty good. As of now, I give Washington the very slight edge in the division, but I could see Dallas winning 11 games.
Last call for Roethlisberger?
I would think, but look, he heeded the calls. He heeded his body's calls. When you saw the picture of him walking into training camp, looking like Ben Roethlisberger 2008 instead of what he looked like last year, which was he just got too big last year. You know, he looks good. And Dan, if you listen to him talk now, it's almost like the offensive coordinator is Matt Canada, you know, this guy who nobody in America has ever heard of. But I would say Ben Roethlisberger, while not being co-coordinator, he's going to have a lot to say with what they run, how often they run it. And I think he's going to be at Matt Canada's side. And so this is going to be a Roethlisberger season. If the Steelers can have one last hurrah with Ben Roethlisberger, this is it. I just really wonder, with the offensive line, you know, having lost the two gigantic members, three really if you count Villanueva, but you lose their best offensive lineman, David DeCastro, and you lose the center that was the leader not only of that line but of that team in Marquise Pouncey. I mean, you know, is Ben going to be running for his life, or, you know, are they going to be solid up there? We'll see.
If the Rams win the Super Bowl, you're our first guest on that Monday. If the Rams miss the playoffs, you're our first guest on that Monday. We're going to
I got to be your first guest when Matthew Stafford is benched for John Doe in week 11.
Thank you, Peter. Safe travels this week.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Dan. Have a good week.
That's Peter King. Working on a little sleep there. Football morning in America. Pete will be on the road covering the Raiders on Wednesday, the Niners Thursday, Cowboys Friday, Saturday the Rams, and then he comes home and he writes his column. A couple of phone calls. We'll settle on our poll question, I believe. Got a stat of the day coming up. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Woody in California leads us off. Hey, Woody, good morning. What do you have for us?
Hey, DP. 5'110".
Okay.
I got my best and worst of the weekend. So my best was hearing Mike Tirico say, "Wipeout" and stoked. And my worst of the weekend was finding out that Michael Thomas was your typical wide receiver diva, bitch.
All right. Thank you, Woody. Woody firing this morning. Yeah, Michael Thomas didn't have surgery. I don't know. I don't know where. That feels like we're headed for a mess in New Orleans with Michael Thomas. Had the ankle injury. Hey, not going to be ready, it looks like, for the start of camp, season. Oh, boy. Yeah, Paulie.
Luckily, the Saints are completely stable at the quarterback position, so there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Nick in Iowa. Hi, Nick. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP, thanks for taking my call. Sure. Want to say happy birthday to Seton over the weekend. It'll be a good time. Best of the weekend is seeing all these young Olympic athletes competing. Like, this is a great name, Jagger Eaton in skateboarding. And then also Anastasia, I think her name is Zoltik. I probably butchered that, in taekwondo. Getting medals, they're kind of the next wave of athletes coming up. The worst of the weekend is, God, this Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers putting up the last dance picture. One, you're nothing like the Bulls. And two, Aaron Rodgers, use your words. I'm just over it.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Yeah, I don't think he's using his words anytime soon. Plus, it doesn't help that you're comparing yourself to Jordan and Pippen. Like, Brady can do it. Like, last week, Brady brought up that he is Jordan and Gretzky. No one complained. Yes, McLovin.
Who's farther from the guy that they're supposed to be in that picture? Rodgers from Jordan or Davante Adams from Pippen?
They don't have enough titles. I mean, Adams is a wonderful player. Adams doesn't have a title. He wasn't there the last time they won.
He doesn't even have an NFC title. I think.
Yeah. I can't imagine having a lame duck quarterback. If you're the Packers and you say, all right, Aaron, you got to play first this year. It's just, I know I keep repeating myself, but I just try to add logic to this. If you're the Packers and you know that this could not be salvaged, why didn't you trade him on draft night? And if you think Jordan Love is ready to go, why do you put up with any of this? A, they didn't know that it was not salvageable. And B, they're probably not sold on Jordan Love taking over right now. And that's why you have this quandary, quagmire, conundrum, whatever it is, it's a mess. And if Rodgers shows up, I don't think he shows up on time. Does he show up? Is he a distraction? Do the Packers then say, we got to trade him? Where can you trade him? What do you get in return? And you've already limited the field on the number of teams that actually can trade for him right now. I don't think there was any better scenario than the Niners at the draft when you could trade Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco. I was told over the weekend that, and I brought this up a couple of times and I had somebody reiterate this, Aaron Rodgers was looking at the Matthew Stafford situation with the Rams and he thought that was his. Like that was a great destination for him. But the Niners are ready to win now. And that's what I thought, okay, I can get the number three pick in the draft. I got other draft picks here. Maybe I get a starter here. And, you know, you can start to rebuild your team or add to your team in Green Bay. Like, that, I don't know. But that's just logic attached to this. And that doesn't work in today's sports world. Take a break. Play of the day is up next. More phone calls after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
We're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Stewart, deep fly ball. Back it goes. And gone! Kelsey Stewart, a walk-off home run for the United States. And they finish pool play 5-0, and they will be the home team in the gold medal game against Japan.
Second time Stewart has walked off Japan, her 10th inning RBI single back in 2018 in the World Championships in China. Now you have USA Network with the call on that as the women's softball team will play for the gold against Japan. That's your play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz fans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, to their five-star sales service. Financial support crew, go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership, and do so today. Got a poll question already up there. Phone calls as well. And let's see. Did we settle on the poll question, McLovin?
So I started with the who's most likely to be traded this week.
Okay.
And the choices were Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Simmons, Bradley Beal, Chris Bryant, and Max Scherzer. And there's one runaway winner who I would not have predicted. Can you guess?
Ben Simmons.
It's actually, he's second.
Oh.
Chris Bryant is first.
Oh, okay.
But so is that an inevitability? I haven't been following the Cubs closely.
Yes.
But
yeah.
People tweet us, don't forget Anthony Rizzo as well.
Yeah, somebody's being traded by the Chicago Cubs. Make sure you pick up some Penny's Bang Biscuits, the gourmet biscuits made from scratch using healthy, all-natural ingredients. Each one is a one-pound bag of dog biscuits, and 20% of all the sales with Bang Biscuits will be given back to the hand-picked partners in the pet industry, including where we got Penny from, and also Winnie, my dog, my rescue dog. Available at danpatrick.com. Paulie has been bringing up odd Olympic questions, and sometimes you don't have an answer for them. Like there's a little fountain when you go to diving. When you're watching diving, there's a little fountain that goes pushing water back in, but it's just a little stream there. I don't know what it's for. It looks kind of cool. I don't know. Is that fresh water going back into the pool? Also, when the divers get out, they get this little towel, but then they go into the wading pool. Like, I'm not sure the whole process there of what happens when you get done there. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, my daughter was watching the Olympics. She's 9 for the first time. And she asked, why did the divers go right over and shower off after they got out of the pool? She goes, they're not dirty. They're not coming from the beach.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the answer. Is it chlorine? Is it cramping? Is it?
I guess it's chlorine, but I don't know.
Because they shower every time.
Yeah.
Like they get out.
Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, is it to stay warm? Or, I mean, is that a big part of diving?
I don't know. Seton?
I'm going to guess that it is the chlorine. Because if you spend that much time in a pool,
yeah,
your skin's going to get super dry.
Mm.
So you rinse it off real quick.
So I'll rinse off with fresh water, but no soap, no lather. Will that do it?
I'm going to trust the swimming community on that, or diving community. I don't really know.
I'm always amazed at that little hand towel that they get to dry off with. Like, how about a real towel? Or does the real towel not dry quick enough? These are just little things.
How many of those little towels do you go through in an event? The laundry bill on that must be insane.
You only get one.
Yeah, there's a bunch of divers on. They only get the one. They have to use the wet one after their third dive?
I think they dry it out.
It's a quick dry towel?
I think so. Yes, McLovin.
I'm skeptical of diving analysis. All that matters is if you have no splash when you get in. That's like seems like at the end of the day, that's how the sport is judged. I've never understood it.
It's like when you land in gymnastics and then you don't take that extra step. Then you're like, oh, nailed it. And, you know, to the outside untrained eye, we're like, yeah, that's got to be a 10. And then you'll watch the divers and you'll go, oh, that was incredible. As if we know what we're looking at.
And the announcers are like, ooh, that's going to cost them. Like, what are you talking about? That was incredible.
There was no splash.
There's a very popular tweet that goes around that says, every Olympic event should have one average person in it just for reference. Just so you can see, like, oh, wow, they really are doing something incredible.
Yeah. Or no, so they can say, well, wait, why was that good? Like, we ask these questions when we're watching, and there are times when you're going, oh, wait, is that good? Oh, that was incredible. And then you're going, I didn't look that good. Yeah, Paul.
Can you imagine trying to walk the length of the balance beam without falling in the first step and a half? Like the balance beam, they're doing flips or twisting. They're blind. They can't see where they're landing.
I'd like to just see one of us trying to get up on it.
Yeah.
Like that alone would be, you know, 5 minutes of my routine.
877-3DP show. Derek in Virginia. Hey, Derek, what do you have? Best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, DP, thanks for taking my call. I got a best and worst for you.
All righty.
Always honored to speak to you. I'm going to start with my worst. Last night, making my wife stay up late with me to watch because I said Ledecky was going to win by a mile, and I was totally wrong. Congrats to the young lady from Australia, but I got the angry. I'm going to bed. And the best is handball. I think that it's basketball without all the restrictions. You do whatever you want with the ball, and then you had a keeper and a goal, and there's a goal almost every possession.
Yeah, I like team handball. It's exciting. We fall in love with the sport for 2 weeks, and then you don't even think about it for a few years. It's like curling. And then, when's the last time you talked about curling? 1 hour in the books, two more to go. One more item as we close out the first hour. When's the last time you had a great night's sleep? And I'm not just talking about, hey, I got a nice bed or a nice mattress. I'm talking about the experience of a great night's sleep. That's what you get with Sleep Number. There's 360 smart beds featuring Sleep IQ technology. And once you sign up for that, you sign up for almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year. Sleep IQ technology tells you how you slept the morning after. You can also get your Sleep Number. Find out exactly what that means when you go into the store. Go to Sleep Numbers. Sleepnumber.com/Patrick or go into one of their stores, which you can find all over the country. And there are also tips on getting a great night's sleep, like creating a sleep routine for you and those you take care of. And that might be waking up, going to bed at the same time, even weekends. Also, keep the bedroom free of work-related items. You want to keep the temperature at around 65 to 67 degrees. All kinds of tips. You can get that Sleep Number 360 smart bed starting at $1,099 for a limited time. Sleep Number stores, sleepnumber.com/Patrick.